Hello, and welcome to the Female Founder Friday podcast with me, Lindsay White. I'm passionate about helping female entrepreneurs be great leaders, build high-performing teams, and create inspiring workplace cultures through innovative talent programs and practices. Because when people feel like they belong at work, they deliver their very best and businesses thrive. The Female Founder Friday podcast is all about connecting with the most incredible female entrepreneurs to talk about their journey to creating their own business, the mistakes they've made along the way, and how they view their own leadership. And I'm challenging all of my guests this season to take my leadership style quiz. And during each episode, we'll be digging into their leadership style and how it impacts the way they lead in their life and their business. And if you're interested in learning more about your leadership style and want some of my top tips to help you lead more effectively, you can take the quiz right now. Just check out the show notes or head over to highvoltageleadership.ca and click on the button at the top of the page that says take the quiz. Then you can share your results, connect with my guests, and join the conversation on Instagram by following me at High Volt Leadership. My featured guest this week is Dr. Kristen Albert, and she's a successful coach, business owner, public speaker, and writer. And she's coached hundreds of clients since launching her business called Turning Points in 2012. Her unique experience as an educator, coach, and leader allows her to really bring a unique and wise and just highly effective approach to every interaction. You'll hear that in our conversation today. And Chris is coaching clients have realized gains in an incredible number of areas, personally and professionally, including their leadership, accountability, focus, communication, self-development, and so much more. So let's get into the conversation with Chris today. Welcome to the podcast today, Dr. Kristen Albert. Thank you, Chris, for being with me this afternoon. I really appreciate this. We had to focus because we were talking before I hit the record button here, and we probably could have gone on all afternoon, but we want to stay on task today. So thanks for coming and being a part of the Female Founder Friday podcast today.
Thanks. I'm so honored to be here, Lindsay. I appreciate your invitation.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. I'm super interested. Of course, I've read your bio and gone to your website, but I really want to know, you know, what's your journey been to becoming a female founder? How did you get to today?
It's been an interesting journey, and I think everybody has their story, but I actually started my career as an educator. As a middle school classroom and vocal music teacher, back in the day, mainly, grades 4 through grades 8, taught for 5 years, got a master's in counseling, was a school counselor for 3 years, went back to teaching music, and about I guess that would have been my 14th or my 17th year in, I thought, you know, I think I'd like to teach teachers and set my sights on teaching teachers.
Love it.
It's interesting because as I'm a leadership coach now, yes. Consider myself mainly a leadership coach, and I've been able to see the thread of leadership all through my career, that common thread. So when I was a classroom teacher, it was about creating classrooms that were very much like the space I create for coaching, classrooms where the students were felt safe enough to take learning risks, were supportive of one another within the classroom, were as much responsible for the climate and the learning in the classroom as I was as the teacher. So after those 17 years teaching in the public schools, then I went the next 12 years spent at a university here in Pennsylvania. It's one of our state system universities. It's Westchester University of Pennsylvania. And spent 12 years there teaching teachers and again, developing teaching leaders. So again, when I follow my former students on Facebook, and I am so proud of the educators that they are. They are not just teaching curriculum. The curriculum happens to be music, but the way they embrace teaching is that they create again, as I had said, these caring classrooms where they have expectations for their students, but their students also bear this responsibility for being responsible contributors to the community.
Yeah.
And it's just so much fun to watch them and what I had instilled in them as a professor of music education. And then in 2012, I left. And this is when I became a female founder. I left higher ed.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting because a lot of folks would say, you're a, you know, tenured full-time professor.
Why would
you leave that?
Yeah.
Well, that's another story, and maybe for today and maybe for a different day. But I left and I started Turning Points. And because I had been in education for all those years and hadn't yet really seen the leadership thread through my work, I started Turning Points as educational consulting and instructional coaching, going along with my belief and the value that every child deserves the best teacher in their classroom, that there is no space in education for a subpar teacher. And so, and I had seen many subpar teachers along the way as I was supervising student teachers and seeing the teachers who were their mentor teachers and being a little uncomfortable because they're in a position where they're learning from this mentor teacher and that teacher's not very good, but they're presenting themselves as if they've got all the answers, you know, they're the best thing and the students don't see the shortfalls. So, So this belief of, you know, what can I do to help influence the growth of, or the continuous improvements of teachers in the classroom and in education.
Yeah.
And along in that first year, I realized that what I had been learning from being coached, so I had been working with a coach a couple of years prior to my transition into my business. And I realized that the frameworks that I was learning through being coached were things that my teachers that I was working with would benefit from. In fact, I believe every person I coach can benefit from these frameworks. You and I talked before we jumped on the call about positive intelligence, that those positive intelligence, the practices of positive intelligence and understanding saboteurs and sage and all that comes with that is good for everybody because we all share this human experience, right? Same thing with, I'm an ontological coach, which means I pay attention to your emotions and your body and your language as inseparable. It's not just cognitive, paying attention to cognition, but also paying attention to how you show up in the world, how you physically show up, how you emotionally show up, and the thoughts that you bring. So I realized that I wanted to get the coaching credential to support the work that I was doing with these teachers.
Right.
And then, of course, when you're doing coaching training, you practice with people and you start to build up your coaching and it started morphing. I realized started to see that thread of leadership. And so it's not just leading out, but it's also leading in. Because 100%. From the moment we get up in the morning, we are leading ourselves, right? Everything that we do to navigate our day is personal leadership. And then every interaction we have with other people are opportunities for positive relational leadership, whether or not it's focused on a company goal or a community action or anything that's important to the people who are in that relationship. And so, so leadership became the thread. And that's how I got to where I am.
I love it. Thank you. That was beautifully articulated. And as someone who comes from a family of teachers, My mother was a classroom teacher, special ed teacher for 35 years, and then moved into the university situation where, and that's, that's when you know it's a vocation. It's not just a job. When you when you desire not just to teach in one way, your whole being is about teaching others. I would argue that the pandemic is the best thing that's happened to my mother in 20 years because it became Grammy's one-room schoolhouse. She had the grandkids and was like a classroom teacher. Like, she just loved it. Anyways, but my aunt, my cousin, like, they're all, I come from that, a long line of teachers. And I love the way you frame that as, you know, teachers are really important leaders. And I think that is actually what is so missing from teacher education programs, from schools, from the enrichment that teachers get. Because I've often said our most important job as a leader is creating other leaders. And isn't that exactly what a teacher should be doing every single day? Right? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You know, like,
and if absolutely.
If teachers were raised, if they were groomed, if they were trained with that as a core philosophy instead of curriculum and classroom management and blah, blah, blah.
When you are truly leading your classroom well, classroom management takes care of itself.
Right? Bingo.
Because you're leading.
Okay, the
and you're teaching them to lead.
Yeah, we've solved all the problems. No, I'm serious though. It just gives me shivers because, you know, this is why I knew this conversation would be amazing. The leadership really does start on the inside. And so when you show up every day prepared to be a leader, whether you're a classroom teacher, whether you're teaching music, which, you know, students are often incredibly engaged in, whether you're teaching young teachers, whether you're leading in your own business, whether you're leading in a corporate environment, whether you're just leading because you're in your community.
Yes.
Like you, you said it, you enrich every relationship, every moment. I just love that.
Thank you. And you know, it needs to be intentional. It needs to be personal. And I do believe that we all bear responsibility for that leadership. And so part of my mission is to help people, not just my clients that I see one-on-one, because I'm only going to affect change in small ways,
right?
You know, as they work with their organizations. But on a broader scale, encouraging people to see themselves as leaders and to recognize that whether they know it or not, and whether they want to be or not, they are leading. And how are you leading? You're doing it, whether you know it or not. Is it positive? Is it negative? What's the impact that you're having?
Yeah.
How intentional are you? And how can you make sure that what you're putting out to the world is making a difference? I believe we can each be part of this changing the world to make it better.
100%.
I know it's crazy, but
yeah. No, I love that. And to like layer back in the positive intelligence work that you and I both love. If you're not consciously and intentionally leading, chances are it's actually your saboteur showing up. It's that
absolutely
space of not enoughness, and that is reacting. That's not intentional leading. And that comes from a place of negativity and stress and, you know, like a low self-worth, like, right? So when you are choosing to show up with intentionality, you're choosing to show up in that positive, enlightened, encouraged, creative way.
All of those saboteurs are part of, I also practice, a certified practitioner of the leadership circle profile.
Oh, yes.
And that is based on the work of Adams and Anderson. And there's a circle. And in that circle, everything above, all the characteristics above the center of the horizon are positively correlated to leadership effectiveness. And everything below that center line is negatively correlated. Where do you think the saboteurs live?
Oh,
they live in that reactive, just like you said, they live in that reactive half of the sphere of leadership. Wow. And it's what gets in people's way of being effective leaders.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I absolutely love that. Speaking of leadership, Chris took my leadership style quiz. You could probably guess what her leadership style is just based on our conversation already. But if you haven't taken the quiz yet and you want to know what your leadership style is, you can check out the link in the show notes, pop over to the website, highvoltageleadership.ca. There's a little button at the top of the page that says, take the quiz. Hit the button. You can take the quiz. It only takes a couple minutes. And it'll give you a little insight into what your style is. And I've also got a couple great tips for you, for each of the styles, to help you be a more effective leader, you know, right away. So Chris, tell us what your style is. I think we probably know.
Yeah. So my style is the coach.
Of course.
And it's so interesting because the way I approach everything is to recognize that I am not the smartest person in the room, that I am not the one with all the answers,
nope.
But that it is a mutual exchange. Again, it comes back to that recognizing that the coachee, they are the expert in them.
Yeah.
It would be crazy for me to be so audacious as to believe that I know more about the person whom I'm coaching than they know about themselves. Right. And so my style has always been in coaching, is always been inviting that person to bring the best of themselves and meet me with the best of me,
yeah.
Even in a classroom.
Yeah,
I don't teach content. I facilitate conversations around that content.
Yeah.
Because everybody knows something and then you build on what people know.
Yeah.
So it's a very much an invitational approach,
yeah,
to learning about oneself and to teaching. Yeah.
Yeah. And just educating in general. I mean, when we say teaching, we think about classroom. But as leaders, we're all educators, right? We're all educators.
Yes.
And we do that the most effective way when we have that coach-like approach, when we are co-creating, when we are in collaborative spaces, when we create safety and belonging, that's when people learn. Not
exactly
drilling content and curriculum down their throats. That really, I mean, I think it's been proven over and over again. That's not actually effective.
No, not only is it not effective, but with our technology as it is, you don't have to know, you need to know very little information. You don't have to memorize it. It doesn't,
no.
You don't have to own that information. You can find the information on the internet. You can find the information.
Yeah.
So who wants to hear someone stand up in front of a room and just tell them everything, you know, brain dump everything they know about a particular subject? And so I think one of my superpowers is bringing that new learning, that new content to the fore in such a way that it shifts how people see,
yes,
and then they make that learning their own, rather than, you know, it's a very malleable process, an exchange of energy.
Yes,
as it creates that space for learning.
I think that is so beautifully articulated, and as you're talking, I'm hearing, you know, how much more effective that is than a lot of the dialogue that happens right now, which is stand your ground, say it as loud and as long as you can, and with the intent that someone will, like, you'll somehow drill it into their head, or that the louder you yell it, the more impactful it will be. And I think we're all coming to realize that actually is not effective. We don't change minds and we don't change hearts. by just saying it louder and longer, that is not impactful. We just entrench ourselves.
And that's often grounded in fear.
100%. Yeah.
100%. You know, so there's the negative learning, right? Or the leadership correlation that's in that bottom half of the circle that's in the saboteur.
Yeah.
That kind of espousing of information, yelling it louder, that's not transformational. That will not create transformation. It simply won't.
I think it does the opposite. I think it creates entrenchment. I become more firmly entrenched in my, yes. Okay. See, I'm all over it this afternoon. No, I love that. I love that. And I think, you know, that is exactly what great leaders do, is they create the space and then they let the magic happen.
Yes. Just like it says behind you, something magical is about to happen.
100%.
Absolutely. You create the space for the magic to happen. Amen.
Right. Well, and I want to point out, because you articulated it right at the first, that as a coach, we are not the experts. That is actually not our job. And I see a lot of that in the space. Coaches that are, I have the answer. I have the magic pill. I have the special formula. Mm. That in fact isn't coaching. That's something different.
Thank you.
Yes. I, anyone who listens to the show, I sort of, you know, maybe ad nauseum point that out. As coaches, it is not our job, and it is actually counter to the purpose. The answers are yours. We aren't experts at you or what you're doing or where you're going. We are simply here to help you find the magic that's already yours, to create the space for you to explore safely, bravely.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we ask those deep questions, and we observe through this lens of coaching. We observe the things that might be keeping you stuck, so that we can ask a question that's going to give you the opportunity to examine that for yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Which is very different than consulting, where, you know, if you want to hire a coach and they tell you that they're going to tell you what you need to do, that's a consultant.
Yes.
That's not a coach.
Yeah.
And if you want to hire somebody that says, well, we're going to coach, and we're going to use this manual and this process, and it's going to take 6 weeks, and we're going to follow this to a T. And when you're done doing these modules, you'll have graduated and consider yourself a coach. That's training, you know, the emergent nature of coaching, I think that's the secret sauce, is allowing the wisdom to emerge on both the side of the coach and the person who is being coached, but especially the person who's being coached.
I love it. I love the way, the emergent nature. What a beautiful way to put it. I love that. I want to switch gears a little bit, because I want to ask you, I mean, this has been quite a journey for you, coming from a classroom teacher to the academic space, and now as a founder. Where have you made mistakes or missteps in this journey? I'm curious about that.
Question, because I didn't know that I was making a mistake at the time. I was doing the best I could.
Sure.
But I told you about when I left higher ed, right? I left higher ed to start Turning Points. And at the time, there was a very toxic environment, very toxic culture and relationship within my department, where I think it was based in people feeling threatened by my capabilities, which I would say that. What I tried to do, what they started to do was and I say they, there are two particular individuals in particular who were trying to keep me in a particular box. And I'm not a keep me in the box kind of gal. I'm very creative. I'm very entrepreneurial. But more than entrepreneurial, I am focused on improvement, constant learning and improvement. Yeah. And so what I actually did was I said yes to a particular role on campus without asking permission. Okay. And I probably should have asked permission. On one hand, yeah.
Yeah.
So I should have asked permission because it did impact my the time on task and how my particular job would be, you know, split up. But because I didn't ask permission, there became a position of retaliation instead of them handling it in a different way. And when they began to retaliate, and the way they began to retaliate was they began to take away, to strip away the things that I had earned over those past 10 years as I worked my way up. So some higher level courses that I was teaching, some particular areas where I had developed expertise and additional credentialing and that sort of thing. And they decided that they were going to say in no uncertain terms, you are not qualified to be teaching these courses that you're teaching. Therefore, we are going to hire someone from outside. We'll still let you stay. You'll teach these lower level courses, but we're going to do a national search and bring someone in to teach these courses that you're teaching. And by the way, you're going to chair the search for that person. Mm. And so the mistake that I made at that time was I tried to fight that against that by trying to prove myself and to protect and to convince them that they were not that they were making a mistake. I wasn't telling them that they were making a mistake, but I kept trying to plead my case. You know, look at it this way, see it this way. Here's what I've done. But they, for all the wrong reasons, were taking the stance and they weren't going to be convinced. No. But I didn't realize at the time why this was all happening. And so I was in that bottom half of the circle, right? Where my judge what had kicked in, my hypervigilant and hyperachiever was kicking in, and people pleaser was kicking. I mean, all of these things.
They were totally ganging up on you.
They were totally ganging up on me. And I was trying to protect my position that I had worked, you know, these 10 years for. Yeah. So I would say that was probably my biggest mistake, because I didn't know any different at the time.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to handle that any differently because I didn't have the tools.
Totally. I was hearing Brené Brown, hustling for your self-worth.
Yes, that's exactly what I was doing.
Hustling hard.
I was hustling for my self-worth.
You're hustling for your self-worth. And I really identify with that because I've been in a reasonably similar position. And you're right. Before you know it, those saboteurs just kick right in. They just hijack.
Absolutely.
Everything you think and do. And suddenly you're hustling so hard for that value in your own self. What an observation though. Like what a self-reflection, Chris.
And so in that I realized that in that hustling for myself, in hindsight, I could have taken that self and taken it somewhere else where it would be appreciated, but it wasn't going to be appreciated where I was. So one of the interesting leadership things that I did, and again, I didn't know this at the time, but the person that I was on the team to hire, right? The person I recommended that they hire, they didn't hire.
Right.
Okay. So they were just all messing all through this, but the person that did hire, they told that person that I didn't want him because I hadn't signed, you know, I hadn't signed to, I hadn't recommended him to be hired. So he already was being set up to believe that I was going to be adversarial.
Right.
He, and in the interview, it was very obvious that he was put on guard, because when I asked a question, he said, I can't believe you even asked me that question. Like, how dare you even ask that question? So he was on guard because he had been told that I was going to be this vicious whatever. I mean, it was just really messy. But the leadership thing that I did was, when he was hired the first week of school, I reached out and I said, let's go to lunch.
Yeah.
And so we went to lunch and we talked this through, and I let him know that I was not here to sabotage him. In fact, my plan was for the two of us to work so well together that the other ones would be looking behind them saying, wait, what happened?
Right.
What happened? We rehired this guy so that there would be this antagonistic stuff going on. So it's funny, when I realized this, again, this is part of the how you choose to act in a particular situation, you have an opportunity to be a positive leader.
Yeah.
And so he and I collaborated on projects. I brought him on as the one of my co-conductors in this children's choral program that I brought to residence at the university. So I included him, and we worked. Yes, he was teaching the courses that that I had wanted, you know, had worked my way up to teach. Yes, but we created a terrific working relationship.
Yeah,
and in fact, not too long ago, when I realized this, I called him. I texted him to see if this was still his phone number. I mean, it was 10 years after.
Right.
And texted him and said, is this still your number? And he said, yes. I said, do you have time for a quick call? Sure. Called him and thanked him for being willing to be open to the possibility that maybe what he was being fed not only incorrect, but malicious, and to thank him for being willing to become collaborators and allies for one another. So what I learned about what I didn't know how to navigate well, there was something in there that I had in me, that ability to navigate part of it well.
Yeah.
The part that I could control. See, that's the piece. As a leader, you have your sphere of influence.
Yes.
There are places where you have no control.
That's right.
And so you have to work in your spheres of influence, because, and eventually work into a greater sphere of influence.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to recognize where your sphere is and where your sphere isn't.
Yeah.
So the coaching that I received, I went to the coach and I said, help me figure out how to survive this next 10 years till these two bozos leave. And the original two bozos,
right.
Not the fellow that was hired. And he says, that's not what I do. He says, not what coaching is. but he said, but if you want to talk, I'm here. And so I began coaching with him and recognized that that I was keeping myself mired and stuck in that place because I was hustling. What did you say? Hustling?
Hustling for your self-worth.
I was hustling for my self-worth.
Yeah.
And so I stopped hustling for my self-worth and I took my self-worth elsewhere.
Yes.
And that's female founder.
I love it.
I took it elsewhere.
Oh, that's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. And I just want to say again, that's not mine. I steal that from Brené Brown all the time, because that is what we do. We hustle for our value. And especially when we have a high achiever or a pleaser, saboteur, we are always looking for validation. We need people to love us to feel valuable.
Yes.
And that in itself is completely false. The value is lives and is created on the inside. And so I just thank you for sharing that so bravely, because those stories are very difficult. Because I mean, you articulate it very clearly now, but that is a high emotion situation, right? It's very
It was awful. It was hell living through. It really was.
Oh my God, my heart was just breaking because I could feel it. And for so many women, that is the story. We end up working for very toxic leaders of some, and I'm not going to call toxic leaders, toxic bosses. Leaders aren't toxic.
Amen. Yep.
And they exist everywhere, right? Whether it's in the corporate world, or, I mean, you were in higher education, academia, right? Like, they exist all over the place. It's tragic. It is tragic.
Yes.
But it is the choice that you made to, you know, first of all, engage with a coach and just come to the recognition. That's what coaching will do for you. They're not going to tell you what to do. They're going to help you find the right thing to do and recognize, I don't have to earn anything from these bozos, to use your word.
Yes.
I don't need anything from them. I sure as hell don't need their recognition or their validation. I got all the validation I need right here. And I'm going to take this show on the road, as my mother would say.
Yes, right? Exactly.
So you
want to hear a funny postscript? Want to hear a funny postscript to this?
Yes, tell us.
So I wrote a LinkedIn article about this journey and through the lens of leadership. And I didn't mince any words about I think I called them lousy leaders in the story. And after I posted it, I had a little bit of vulnerability hangover, because I thought, what if either of those people read this? You know, their names weren't in it, obviously.
Yeah.
And I didn't even talk about where I was working or anything like that. So, I mean, it was very, it was very nebulous. But several days after I posted, one of the bozos emailed or messaged me and went on to tell me, I read with interest your story of your experience at da 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 da. And he said, from the time I hired you, I saw such potential. And he went into all of these things about what he did to get me where I am. And he said, and now you have your own business. Congratulations, well earned. And I thought, I didn't even respond to it. I just left it go. There was nothing to respond to, but it was so interesting. He saw himself in there, and he was trying to protect his image and create the narrative, how he wanted to have the narrative created.
My grandfather would say, don't pull your arm off to pat yourself on your own back, right? Like, give me a break. But clearly triggered some kind of saboteur response for him. Isn't that curious? How lovely to be able to reflect on that with humor and with, you know, the insights of, all of that was so much about you and very little about me, right? As it so often is in these situations. Mm-hmm. As opposed to great leaders who it is all about the other people and so little about ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well put.
I love that. Well, okay. So first of all, what a beautiful story and an hysterical postscript. Like, that's actually really funny that he would take the time to reach out and then congratulate himself basically for all your hard work. Like,
that's exactly what he did.
Yes. For real.
Yes.
Come on.
Yep. Congratulate himself for what I've achieved.
Yeah.
Because he hired me.
Yeah, because he hired you. Well, at least he had that number of brain cells to do that in the first place. Can't take credit for the rest of it. But I love you sharing that so bravely. I think, you know, we find incredible courage in sharing our very difficult stories. But they're always a little difficult to tell. So thanks for sharing that with us today. And what incredible lessons for anyone who is listening. Like, you don't have to hustle for your self-worth. Take that show on the road, right? Take yourself and go somewhere where your value is truly respected and honored, that in itself is incredibly valuable.
Thank you. I appreciate that affirmation very much.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Well, thank you again for being such a wonderful guest. I feel like we could go on for hours today.
Lindsay, we must stay connected. I just feel such a kindred spirit in you.
100%. We will absolutely do that. And we're going to post some places for you to connect with Chris and learn more about the work that she does with leaders, because it's super valuable. Thank you again for being a part of the conversation today.
Absolutely. My honor and pleasure. Thank you, Lindsay.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in today. I sure hope you enjoyed listening as much as I did hosting this conversation. And if you did enjoy today's episode, would you do me a favor? Would you give the episode a 5-star review and share it with all of your friends? I would really appreciate that. I've got a goal to impact 1,000 female founders, and with your help, we can really amplify this message. Thanks again for being a part of the show. And don't forget to connect with me and all of my guests on Instagram @HighVoltLeadership. We'll see you next Friday.